But I thank God they're not all like that. I've also seen a few young people who grew up as children here who are examples of humility and who are not taken up with their salaries and their wealth, who don't mingle only with the elite educated, but who are mingling with the poor and the uneducated. Those of you who are in high jobs and your children can go to good schools and get a good education, I want to ask you, do your children mingle with the really poor people in CFC? In conference time, do your children go to talk to the poor people who come from the villages in Tamil Nadu? Ask yourself, do you want to save your children? Or do you want to raise an arrogant bunch of people who will only mingle with the elite upper class Christians? I've seen it happen here. They'd like to talk to the foreigners more than the poor villagers from Tamil Nadu. Okay? I don't go stopping it. I say, we have preached enough in this church for people to know. He only says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you want to bring up your children that way, go right ahead. But I'll tell you this. The word of God does not change. The way you bring up your child, mark my words, Proverbs 22:6, when he is old or she is old, they will not depart from it. And if you see children going astray, you can be sure you brought them up like that in childhood. If you see them not serious about spiritual things, and if the things of the world mean more to them now, it's because you brought them up that way. I'm not trying to bring you under condemnation. God is a God of encouragement. But if you repent, I've heard people come to me and say, Brother Zach, please pray for my children. They're going astray. I say, fine. We'll do that. I believe God can work even with children who are grown up, who grew up in CFC and who are not wholehearted today. God can still work with them, provided I tell those parents, you do one thing. First, kneel down before God and say, my children are not wholehearted today, Lord, because the word of God is being fulfilled in Proverbs 22:6. That's the way I brought them up. And they became like that when they grew up. It's my fault. It's our fault. We take the blame 100%. Then you can ask God, Lord, please forgive us. Please make them radical, wholehearted disciples at least now, and keep praying, you and your wife, until they change. And you'll see a miracle happen. But it has to begin with honest acknowledgement of your failure and your sin. As long as you say, no, it's like that, it happens like that, the world is bad, and they've got bad friends and bad company, and some children turn out like that. Okay, I've got nothing more to say. What will you stand before the Lord and say in the final day? You can justify yourself for the next 50 years, but what will you tell the Lord in the final day? Nothing. Humble yourself. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 8, he led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty water. And those days you didn't backslide. He fed you with manna to humble you. And now when you enter the land of Canaan and you have all this wealth, you say, the power and strength of my hand made me this wealth. Do you say that I worked hard and I was intelligent and I made all this money? That's why the company gave me a promotion, because I'm smart. I'm not dumb like these other fellows in the company. May God have mercy on you. You shall remember the Lord your God, verse 18. For it is he who gives you power to make wealth, because he loves you, because he just wants to confirm his covenant with you. And it shall come about, verse 19, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods, and today those other gods are money, pleasure, ease, comfort, laziness, and you serve them and worship them. Moses says, I testify against you today. Whichever church you belong to, even if you're in CFC, you will surely perish. Like the churches before you that perished, so you shall perish. Because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. It's a wonderful chapter. I take it very seriously. I remember in my own life, my wife and I, the years when we struggled. When we couldn't get much, even our food was very, very simple. We couldn't buy hardly anything for our children or for ourselves. And we say, Lord, I never want to forget those days. And I want to be devoted to you today just like I was in those days. There must not be even the slightest drop in devotion to you. Because there are warnings in Scripture of godly men. Don't think because I'm a godly man and I've kept going till now, I'm okay. No. You know that the children of Israel, they went astray when comfort came or when relative comfort came. Let me turn to Exodus in chapter 32. For 430 years, they had been slaves in Egypt. They never worshipped idols then. Where was the time? Where was the money to make idols? Where was the time to worship idols? They'd go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and come back at 9 o'clock at night. They're slaves. And they clung to God. And they cried to God. The Bible says they sighed in Exodus chapter 2, the last verse. They sighed and, oh God, have mercy upon us. They prayed. But then they got delivered. That was a tremendous. And they saw miracles of the Red Sea splitting open and a pillar of cloud and fire leading them. And that, you know, when you experience a few answers to prayer and miracles, it can go to your head and you can begin to think that, boy, I'm a special child of God. And that's what they felt. Now there was no slavery. They didn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and carry bricks and stones. There was nobody whipping them on the back saying, come on, do your work. They were free. And not only they were free, God had told them to get their wages from the Egyptians. The Egyptians had made them serve for 430 years without paying them. And so before they left, God said, go to every Egyptian and collect gold and silver from them. God didn't tell them to ask for money. He was saying, give me our salary. Give me my salary for 430 years. In gold and silver. They were only collecting their salary. There's no sin in going to the office and saying, can I collect my salary? That's all those Israelites were told to do. Go to every Egyptian house and collect your salary. Collect all the gold and silver. And they got it. 430 years of salary, which was not paid to them. And they came out, and when they came out with all this gold, which they never had before, they were poor, but now they had so much gold. And Moses had just gone up. They were scared as long as Moses was there. Oh boy, he was a very strict man. But once he had gone away just for a little over a month, just 1 month. And it says in Exodus 32, Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain. The people assembled to Aaron. Aaron was also a leader, but he was not of the same quality as Moses, not the same degree of strictness. He was a God-appointed leader. Definitely, God said Aaron is one of the leaders, but he was not like Moses. And they said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. Because this man, Moses, I don't know what's happened to him. Okay, Aaron said, quickly, he wants to be popular, you know, leaders who want to be popular. He said, fine. Tear off the gold rings. Where did they get gold rings from? These slaves? They got it. They got 430 years salary, and they became wealthy, bonus and everything else. And they put gold rings in the ears of their wives and their daughters and even in their sons. Amazing. Tear it off and bring it to me. And the people tore off all the gold rings in the ears and brought it. And Aaron, listen to this, he took it and with a graving tool, he melted all this This is Aaron. And some people who helped him shaped it into a molten calf. Can you imagine a leader doing this? Who had seen all the miracles they'd just seen from God? And Aaron tells them, "This is your God. I just made it. Who brought you out from the land of Egypt, this wretched golden calf. This is your God." And what is the name of this God, by the way? What is the name of this golden calf? Aaron said, "I'll tell you. Tomorrow we're going to have a feast to this God." And verse 5, he's called Jehovah. Tomorrow we'll have a feast for this calf, Jehovah. How quickly this backsliding came. So quickly. They hardly come out of Egypt and they're already backsliding. The next day they rose up. And of course they went through the religious exercise of burnt offerings and peace offerings before this golden calf they call Jehovah. And then they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said, "Go down, Moses, the people have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside from the way. They're worshipping a golden calf." And the Lord said, "I've seen this people," verse 9, "they are an obstinate people. Let me alone that I may destroy them. I'll make you a great nation." There you see Moses' heart. He says, "Lord, I don't want to be a great man. This people descended from Abraham. Let it continue. Let it never be said it descended from Moses. I don't want to be a great man. I don't want you to make me a great nation." There you see the greatness and the humility of this godly man. He wanted nothing for himself. He only wanted for God's people. That's the type of man you and I should be. That's the type of man God uses, who will never seek anything for himself, but is always concerned for God's people and the testimony of God. And the Lord said, Why do you burn against them? You brought these people out of Egypt. Why should those worldly people say that there's corruption in the midst of your people? What will the Egyptians say when they see all this? Please protect your testimony. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, verse 13. And verse 14, "So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he'd do to his people." Does God change his mind? He does. He wanted to destroy them. But one man stood there between God and the people and said, "Forgive them, Lord. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And because Moses is a righteous man, God heard his prayer and said, "Okay, I won't destroy this people." And they were saved. It's amazing. We read that God wanted to destroy Nineveh in Jonah's time. And it was the word of God, 40 days and I'll destroy this nation. And 40 days later, he didn't destroy them. Does God change his mind? Yes. He changes his mind when he sees one man, at least one man, who stands up for him and who will stand in the gap for the land.